Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. And in just a moment, we're going to be going live on KERM Radio. And that is our local radio station where our congressman, Steve Womack, is the son of the colonel who is the owner and operator of KERM Radio. We've been broadcasting on the AM-FM radio channel for nearly, or over actually now, 1 month over, 5 years. And so in just a moment, the KERM studios will be calling in, and hopefully everything will run smoothly, and we'll move forward with our radio broadcast today on KERM. So just any moment now. And in the interim, we're just going to put on a little bit of soft music, I think would be the best way to do it, or that could mess things up. Let's give it a shot. We'll be right back. Oh, David.
Vincent, okay.
Are you coming through loud and clear?
You're coming through loud and clear right now.
Okay, we should be ready to go then. Yes.
Okay, just stand by and we'll put you through. Hold on.
Okay.
Atmosphere. Our independent living and assisted living facilities include seamless access to on-campus skilled nursing and memory care. Contact Concordia Retirement Center at 479-855-3714 or go to ConcordiaRetirement.com for more information. Concordia Retirement Center is a proud sponsor of KERM's up-to-the-minute results of the primary elections.
You're listening to KERM, KURM, Rogers, Springdale, and Bentonville, and KURM-FM 100.3, Gravett, Southwest City, and Siloam Springs.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone on this 23rd day of May 2018. We have a lot of news that we want to cover before we move into the meat of our message today. And I want to begin with the purge against Christians that is now underway in China as persecution ramps up. It feels like every day we are hearing more news about China increasing persecution on the Christian community. Abuses are escalating to unprecedented levels as we're seeing a full-out purge against Christians in the Zhejiang province in eastern China, perpetrated by the government, according to organizations monitoring the situation on the ground. China Aid, a watchdog group, stated that local governments are stepping up and taking charge of the persecution and outlaw of Christianity. The government has banned all kinds of religious meetings, meaning no church services, no Bible studies, and no prayer meetings. Not only are they banning religious events, but they are calling for people to renounce their faith, particularly in Jesus Christ. Wenzhou and Shaoxing, two governments in the eastern province, have banned religious gatherings, stating that they are a fire hazard and routinely work to shut down each gathering. The police often show up, one person said, and say that they want to conduct a fire safety inspection. They wander around in the church and arbitrarily point out that some facilities do not meet the standards. Lee, who is Hangzhou Christian, stated, then they require you to reform in 2 weeks. Even if you do exactly as they said, they would still deem you unqualified in the next inspection. You are helpless, Lee continued. The government will ban you no matter what, he said. We no longer organize large-scale gatherings. Only a few people meet up in their own houses, changing location once in a while. Zhu, another Christian, stated, he pointed out that the government will go looking for any small excuse to shut down churches. Not only are government officials shutting down all religious gatherings, but they are also being pressured at school on their religious beliefs by teachers. In Wenzhou, it's reported that there is an intense role each teacher plays. And now we quote, many schools in Wenzhou are investigating the religious backgrounds of students. Firstly, they find out if the parents are Catholics or Christians. Then they find out the names, home addresses, and addresses of their workplaces. Finally, they will show up in your house and ask you to renounce your religious belief, an anonymous Christian shared. So another anonymous Christian shared that believers in Wenzhou are also targeted at their places of work. They are often targeted by their bosses and have lost wages or bonuses due to their faith. These techniques are used to try to get the Christians to stop going to church. Wenzhou is traditionally known as a Christian community because of its large population of believers, many even referred to as China's Jerusalem. Well, the community has faced intense persecution in the past years, and it is only growing. The atheistic communist government, which falsely claims to promote freedom of religion, has recently banned Sunday school as well. So despite the levels of persecution and the increasing fear of the government, parents are still pushing forward to teach their children the Word of God. One said, faith comes first, grades come second, Chen, a parent, told Reuters back in December. So drugs, pornography, gambling, and violence are serious problems among today's youth, and video games are extremely seductive, Chen added. We cannot be by his side all the time, so only through faith can we make him understand the right thing to do. Persecution isn't something new to the people of Wenzhou. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we have a preview of what's coming down the pike. In fact, in April of 2017, the government attempted to install cameras in the local churches in order to monitor their activities. Someone said that government officials came to the churches, put up cameras by force. Some pastors and worshipers who didn't agree to the move were dragged away, one Christian in Wenzhou stated. Some people needed to be treated in hospital after fighting the officials. What kind of persecution is happening in China? Will it spread around the world? It's happening many parts of the world. And when we think about what is happening in the United States of America and in other places around the world, let's go to our next article here, because this one is very disheartening and it's something that we should be aware of. And that is Pope Francis is lighting up the internet with private comments to gay man. He said, God made you like this. Here's the article. The internet has been set ablaze following reports of highly controversial comments made by Pope Francis during a private conversation with an openly gay man. Juan Carlos Cruz, who suffered abuse at the hands of a Chilean priest, spent 3 days with Francis talking openly about his struggles with his sexuality and horrific experiences of abuse. Here's what Pope Francis allegedly said, according to Juan Carlos, who discussed his meeting with the pontiff in an interview with CNN. And I quote, you know, Juan Carlos, that does not matter. This is what Juan Carlos said, the Pope said to him. You know, Juan Carlos, that does not matter. God made you like this. God loves you like this. The Pope loves you like this. And you should love yourself and not worry about what people say. End of quote. Well, if reported accurately, the Pope's comments mark a distinct break from over 2,000 years of Catholic teaching, which considers homosexuality objectively disordered and in contradiction to God's law. As Section 2357 of the Catholic Catechism notes, and I quote, basing itself on sacred scripture, which presents homosexual acts as acts of grave depravity. Tradition has always declared that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. They are contrary to the natural law. They close the sexual act to the gift of life. They do not proceed from a genuine affective and sexual complementary. Under no circumstances can they be approved. Well, when asked to confirm the Pope's remarks with Cruz, the Vatican issued a simple statement: "We do not normally comment on the Pope's private conversations." Well, in 2013, Francis famously remarked, "If someone is gay and seeks the Lord with goodwill, who am I to judge?" when pressed for his views on homosexuality. Tell me, when God looks at a gay person, does he endorse the existence of this person with love or reject and condemn this person? He said. Some are unconvinced that the Pope has said anything out of line. I welcome any statement from Pope Francis, which reminds people that gay people, like anyone, should love themselves, wrote Douglas Robertson at The Independent. But what he has reportedly intimated to this victim is not radical, it is not new, and it belies a wider official teaching on homosexuality that is very clear. Well, the Catechism, which represents the Church's official teaching on a range of social and moral issues, says this about those struggling with homosexuality. This is 2358 in the Catechism. The number of men and women who have deep-seated homosexual tendencies is not negligible. This inclination, which is objectively disordered, constitutes for most of them a trial. They must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. These persons are called to fulfill God's will in their lives, and if they are Christians, to unite to the sacrifice of the Lord's cross the difficulties they may encounter from their condition. And then 2359 says homosexual persons are called to chastity by the virtues of self-mastery that teach them inner freedom, at times by the support of disinterested friendship, by prayer and sacramental grace. They can and should gradually and resolutely approach Christian perfection. Well, Fernando Caradima, the disgraced priest who abused Cruz, was found guilty of abuse by the Vatican back in 2011. In a shocking move last Friday, all the bishops in Chile offered their resignation to Pope Francis following an emergency summit held at the Vatican to discuss Chile's horrific sex abuse scandal, Catholic News Agency reported. Some 31 active bishops, along with three who were retired, tendered their resignation to the Pope, insisting that it was time to place their fate in the hands of the Holy Father so that he might freely decide for each one of us. Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, when the Pope starts saying that God loves you the way you are, you should love yourself the way you are, this is how God created you to be, that is a far distance from the Word of God, from the Catholic Catechism, et cetera, et cetera. But while all of this is going on, there's another case where the federal courts got involved, and it, in this article, talks about a federal court siding with a transgender teen who fought to use the men's restroom. Well, a federal court in Virginia ruled against a school board Tuesday for barring a transgender teen from using the men's restroom. Gavin Grimm, a biological female who identifies as a man, sued the Gloucester County School Board in 2015 after it passed a policy requiring students to use the bathroom that matches their birth gender. Well, the judge denied the school board's attempt to dismiss the case and said the bathroom policy violated Grimm's constitutional rights. Grimm's attorneys relied heavily on an Obama-era policy which told public schools that federal law, Title IX, forbids sex discrimination in education settings. The term sex also includes gender identity. Well, the Trump Justice and Education Departments rescinded the Obama administration's policy on school bathrooms in 2017, leaving many school administrators unsure of how to address transgender bathroom policies. Tuesday's ruling comes after the U.S. Supreme Court said it would not hear the case of Gavin Grimm versus Gloucester County School Board and sent it back to a lower court in 2017. Grimm, who graduated last year, praises the court's decision. He said, or she said, "I feel an incredible sense of relief," Grimm said in a statement. "After fighting this policy since I was 15 years old, I finally have a court decision saying that what the Gloucester County School Board did to me was wrong and it is against the law." The ACLU of Virginia defended Grimm and affirming the ruling. The district court has upheld what Gavin argued all along, that trans students deserve the same protections under Title IX as any other student and can't be stigmatized and ostracized because of who they are, said the ACLU of Virginia Executive Director Claire Guthrie Castanja. Well, again, this is the law of the land of America. There's a point to this. There is a point to this. You have the Pope, who visited Barack Hussein Obama in 2016, talk about the Antichrist and the false prophet, some people say. But anyways, they did meet in a historical coming together here in the United States. And both Obama, now this Pope, talking about God made you that way, therefore be that way and love yourself and all that good stuff, right? And then for the transgender community, it's now legal. They're praising the law of the land, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, where does this all lead? Where does this all lead? What is happening in our world today? But I want to play a video from the president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, as he was at the Susan B. Anthony list meeting. And this is halfway through his speech with them. He's going to Let's hear what he has to say.
The States is one of only seven countries in the world to allow elective abortions after 20.
You know, let me do this. Rather than having the video, because I'm not sure it's going to go through, let me just read to you what the president said. President Donald Trump delivered the keynote address at the 11th Annual Campaign for Life Gala Tuesday evening. And here's what he said, and I'm quoting. "As the Lord says in Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart," Trump told the crowd. "When we look into the eyes of a newborn child, there is no doubt we see the beauty of the human soul and the mystery of God's great creation. We know that every life has meaning and that every life is totally worth protecting." President Trump highlighted his numerous pro-life measures, including a new proposal aimed at protecting unborn babies in the Title X Family Planning Grant Program. The measure does not cut funding for Planned Parenthood, but is designed to ensure taxpayer funds aren't used for abortion. Someone say hallelujah. The president quoted, "For decades, American taxpayers have been wrongfully forced to subsidize the abortion industry through Title X funding. So today we have kept another promise," Trump added. "My administration has proposed a new rule to prohibit Title X funding from going to any clinic that performs abortion." The president also encouraged the audience to continue to fight for life by electing pro-life leaders. He said, "Every day between now and November, we must work together to elect more lawmakers who share our values, cherish our heritage, and proudly stand for life." The story is in the 2018 midterms. We need Republicans, he said. So the event is sponsored by the pro-life Susan B. Anthony list, and President Donald Trump is governing as the most pro-life president in our nation's history. And Susan B. Anthony List is honored to receive him at our annual Campaign for Life Gala, said SBA List President Marjorie Dannenfelser. And she went on to say, "President Trump has diligently and successfully gone about fulfilling his promises to the pro-life voters who worked so hard to elect him. And it has been a privilege to stand with him to defend the innocent born." Well, Majority Whip Steve Scalise also delivered remarks, and Kellyanne Conway, counselor to the president, received SBA List 2018 Distinguished Leader Award. Now, that is so amazing, because there's another article about another lawsuit that's taking place and a deep investigation to an abortionist who was found to be slashing the throats or twisting the necks of the unborn fetuses to kill them. My God. Ladies and gentlemen, the deep-seated corruption in our country and around the world, the defilement that is running rampant within our society is so obvious, but only the blind would not be able to see it, and that we understand. But I want to talk about what it is that we're actually witnessing within our society. You know, and I know, a generation ago, it was illegal in the United States of America to have an abortion. It was against the law. We understood through a moral mindset that you don't murder innocent life in the womb of a woman. And so not until 1973 was it legal to have an abortion. And that was the worst decision that the Supreme Court of the United States of America has ever made, because that was the day that we licensed the mass murder of innocent blood, and our nation has now been saturated 80 million abortions later, 500 million abortions globally around the world through taxpayer dollars through that Planned X programming we just talked about. So we have lots of blood on our hands. Our nation's streets and faucets and waterways are running rampant with the blood of innocent babies. Bad decision. But again, it didn't happen until 1973. We also know that a generation ago, it was absolutely illegal, and you went to prison for having a homosexual act. When a man was found to have sex with another man in this country, they went to prison. And while they were in prison, if they committed a homosexual act, 5 years was added to their sentence. Research it out. I have. You could take a look. But again, in our generation, what have we done? We have polluted the mind of morality with abortion, and now the massive thrust towards homosexual marriages and lesbian marriages, and then the pro legislation for the transgender community, men that want to be women, women that want to be men. And by the way, the Catholic catechism is not the word of God. And while the Catholics may seek to have people understand what they're trying to say about certain things, the reality is that God called both the shedding of innocent blood and homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, bestiality, and everything else you want to connect to that, an abomination. But what is it all about? Why such the abominable degradation, depravity, and corruption that is oozing out of our society? Well, some people don't think it's that way at all. They think this is liberty and freedom, and this is the time to break the bands of religious institutionalism, and we are a free people. And what they're really doing is that they're saying, we don't want any restraint to our fallen human nature. We want to be able to be as corrupt and defiled and depraved as ever before. And you know who's singing that song? You know where the dance beat's coming from? From Satan himself, who is creating an environment around the world for the whole of creation to ultimately worship him. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that the whole world is going to worship the devil, and the whole world is going to worship the beast that has been empowered by the great red dragon, this devil, this demonic activity, this Luciferian plot to undermine the eternal purpose of God. How do we say that? Most of you have read the Bible, and even if you haven't, you've heard the story of Adam and Eve. I refer them to Mr. and Mrs. Adam, okay? Adam is male and female. This is mankind. And in the beginning, the creator of the universe, he designed a plan that would work perfectly for his intended purpose. And what was that? That God would bring a male and a female together to procreate. So the first godly revelation was marriage. The two shall become one flesh. Not two men, not two women, but one man, one woman coming together, becoming one. That's marriage. Then procreating to bring forth family. To bring forth family. So you have marriage, and then you have offspring. Think about that. Marriage at the very beginning of creation and offspring. Well, in our world today, what is it that is under most attack? Marriage and offspring. Murder the baby in the womb and have men marry men to stop the procreative power and purpose of what God intended, have women marry women so there's no procreative power, simply have men go to a sperm bank, donate their sperm, so the homosexual men or the homosexual women could take the sperm somehow and have their own little baby, and yet it defies their very logic of I hate men and I don't want to be with men, I love my lover and I love my spouse. So if we don't want to borrow the sperm of a man, we'll go and adopt. But guess what? Every child you're going to adopt came from the sperm of a man. You know, you just can't get it right when you're psychologically twisted. I'm sorry, but it's true. If you're so psychologically twisted and so darn deceived by the rhetoric that is going on in this country, well, you're never going to get it. You're never going to be able to distance yourself from the reality and the fact that every child you try to have is going to come from a man's sperm, because two women can't do it. And two men can't do it either. So what the reality is in our moment, our time here, is that two very powerful forces that God created and designed for the well-being of mankind has been under severe attack in our generation. And that is very sad, that there is a moral and a depraved corruption that has blinded people's minds, so that rather than people just simply obeying what God's instructions are for life and happiness and goodwill, guess what, America? Before the generation of abortion, before the generation of homosexuality and lesbianism, transgenderism and bestiality in our country was ever legalized, we were a much more moral, honorable, heroes of the world, more sound in mind. We were the leaders in education. We were the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And today people puke on us. They spit on us. They despise us and hate us. Why? Because not only do we corrupt our own society by adhering to the satanic agenda, but we spread it around the world. We are the drug dealers selling drugs all over the world, if you will. We are the immoral Illuminati, if you will, that are spreading our immorality to the ends of the earth. It's true. It is absolutely true. So, again, what is it all about? Well, marriage being perverted, birth being perverted, is a direct attack against God. And only the atheist, and only the socialist, for the most part, only the communist, only the Marxist, only the Leninist, only the far left, the promoters of these two crimes against God, who they are going to pay for when they stand before him, only they would oppose God's laws of morality. Only they would mock and scoff at what is moral and what is right. Only these deceivers under the control of the Antichrist himself, under the Luciferian spirit, would mock and scoff at those who desire to do what is right, who know what is right. And how is this happening? They always spread their corruption. Okay, listen, this is very, very important for us. The demonic people in this world spread the corruption that is really a satanic agenda to defy the living God. That's what Satan does. He fights against God. So he wants to destroy marriage. He wants to destroy childbirth, right? And so, but they always do it, or the devil does it, through these mechanisms, through individuals, through people like Barack Hussein Obama or Bill and Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or anybody else that has a big charismatic smile and looks in the face of the world and has a handsome look about him, perhaps, and tells everybody how cool it is to have an abortion, how homosexuals need to be supported and lesbians need to be supported. And so the masses, the blind masses, go, wow, if Bill Clinton says it, if Barack Obama says it, if Hillary Clinton says it, or any of these others, if the Supreme Court of the United States says it's okay, well, then it must be okay. But the fact of the matter is, it's not okay to the one that everybody is going to stand before and give an account. There is no argument. There is no discussion. But here's what the devil does. The devil always wants to have a discussion like he did with Mrs. Adam, whom we call Eve, when she was in the garden and God told her, don't touch it, don't eat it. And she got into a conversation with the devil. And because the devil is such a smooth talker, he could have her, and let alone her, what about all of us who are operating out of 18 to 22% of our brain that think we're so stupid intelligent, right? Well, the devil is a smooth talker, and he's able to begin a dialogue to bring us away from God. And that is the satanic agenda, always, to separate man, the creation, from his creator, God. And so it is through dialogue, it is through discussion, it is through legislation that the devil is working to get people to say, well, if the government says it's okay, it must be okay. And then if the churches say it's okay, it must be okay. And I hear about pastors and churches that support homosexuality and abortion and lesbianism and transgenderism, all in the name of love. And so it must be okay. And then, of course, it must be okay to watch pornography, and it must be okay to commit adultery, and it must be okay, and I have every right to steal, and if somebody gets on my nerves, it must be okay to kill them. I mean, it must be okay to break the laws of God, to be a liar, to be, you know, all of these different things, to bear false witness against my neighbor, you know, to erect idols and to change gods, and it must be okay because the government says it's okay. Well, I hope that you're intelligent enough to know that it's not okay, that even your own conscience would tell you it's not okay if you had one, and only people who have become reprobate and have lost their conscience would think that homosexuality is normal or should be advocated or should be protected within a society, knowing that when you protect something like that, it will grow, and when it grows, it will spread. That is the satanic reality, ladies and gentlemen. So what a moral society would do is what we did before this generation. You would make it illegal. You would send those poor homosexuals and lesbians to some training classes to try to get their minds untwisted and their chemical conditioning more balanced. You would labor to work with them, but instead they want to now take Christians to the psychologist because the Christians are saying this is wrong. So they're trying to make the Christians to seem loony bins so that immorality would be exalted as a normality. I gotta ask you, is that normal at all? And so where does it all head? Where is this all going? Well, you have to understand, dear Christian, what today's worldly environment is doing to you. You need to understand, dear Christian, that you are under satanic attack. Dear Christian, brother and sister, you must awaken from the delusion that everything is okay. Because what the devil has been doing for a long time now is laboring to silence your voice, to steal away from you the passion to stand for what is right in the eyes of God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. He is trying to get your voice to go away. He is trying to silence your voice so that you have nothing to say. He wants you to capitulate. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to give up and give in. He wants you to become more politically fiery than He does wanting you to become godly fiery. You see, the devil is working. And in fact, the Bible says in the book of Daniel that the devil is going to wear out the saints in the last days. And then in the book of Revelation, it literally says for 3.5 years, the devil is going to overcome the saints of God. And I believe that we're living in a generation where the devil's been doing everything in his power, through the courts, through government, through television, through every mechanism available to him on this earth, including your neighbor, your spouse, your children, to get the Christians in America and around the world to be silent. And Christians in America view our brothers and sisters around the world, like in China we read about, like in Iraq, like in Syria, like in South America, that are being persecuted, murdered, raped, and tortured. And we barely say a thing to those that are going to prison for their faith. But America needs to know it's coming here like an avalanche of judgment for our silence. And ladies and gentlemen, the devil's all in. He is not playing a little game. He is all in. He's very serious about taking you out, silencing you, and shutting you up. He wants you to get more involved in the things of this world. He wants you to just shake your head and say, oh boy, isn't that so bad? Listen, if the church is not the moral compass of our nation, then who is? If the word of God is not directing the morality of a nation, the biblical morality, then who is? Whose morality are you following? The morality of the courts, the morality of the government, the morality of the congresswomen and men, the morality of the senators? Whose morality is being advocated within our society that a nation would turn and say, I've got to go after to be the morality, the biblical morality of the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the words of God from Genesis to Revelation, from the Torah to the gospel? God has spoken and released a revelation. And when it's in power and when it's in force, a more beautiful environment is presented. A moral reality brings a blessing on a nation or an individual, whereas the corruption causes defilement, degradation, and death. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a very satanic agenda. That's all it is. For the enemy's mockery of morality is a planned attack to cause the people to back off and back down from their spiritual stance, making them to feel foolish to be so contrary to what the rest of the world desires and believes. This is the work of the enemy. The danger here is that the church is losing its voice. The church has lost its voice. I mean, the powers of darkness do not want one voice on radio or television that will tell you the truth you're hearing right now. It's not because of my importance, but it is the word of God. And unfortunately, you cannot turn on radio, you cannot turn on television and hear the unadulterated truth. What you'll hear is a little bit of the problems, and then you'll hear all this oozing flattery and, whatever they call it, nice things, and everything's going to be okay. Folks, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. Here's some truth. Here's a reality that's happening. Nobody's thinking about it. Well, they're telling us now that there's no end in sight, that Hawaii's Kilauea volcano eruption could threaten geothermal plant. What? The big island of Hawaii is still under threat from the Kilauea volcano, which, by the way, in March, I was there standing at it. I've got pictures on my phone. My grandsons, my family, and I were at that volcano, and I was joking around, like I told you before, saying that the fiery displeasure of God is going to erupt from the middle of the earth. It happened before. It's going to happen again. I was joking around, but then again, I was told from 9/11/2001 to pay attention, pay attention. Well, here it is. The big island of Hawaii is still under threat from the Kilauea volcano. Authorities are especially concerned about how flowing lava could affect Puna Geothermal Venture, a plant that provides at least one quarter of the Big Island's daily energy needs via geothermal wells. Governor David Icke said Tuesday that authorities are monitoring the flow of lava and the threat to the plant. He said that 10 wells have been cooled with cold water to counter the pressure from rising volcanic steam. One other well has plugged with mud. We do believe, he said, that all 11 wells are stable and the risk to the uncontrollable release of hydrogen sulfide has been mitigated. Since the eruption began May 3rd, sulfur dioxide emissions have more than doubled. The air, especially in the southern part of the island, is increasingly dangerous. Authorities have already forced more than 2,000 people to evacuate. A spike in the level of gases in the air could lead to a mass evacuation, as could a problem at the plant. Here's what he said. If we really felt that the plant was at risk of being overrun and could trigger a well being exposed, then that's when we would order the evacuation. Lava has already destroyed nearly 50 buildings, including dozens of homes. What are we talking about? We're talking about a massive volcano on the island of Hawaii, the big island, and nobody knows where it's going. They don't see any end in sight. What is the concern? What should the concern be? Well, the concern should be as that molten lava is releasing and people are evacuating and people are dying and the gases that are getting into people's lungs, you know, that's one thing. And the other thing is, will it trigger a massive tsunami in the Pacific Ocean that will bring waves that are beyond description to the west coast of the United States of America? Right now, it's coming. We're moving into hurricane season, or just the beginning, and there's already some things forming out in the Gulf, something to watch out for. And we say, well, these are just seasonal things. Ladies and gentlemen, with the way we are living right now, with the way that we are conducting ourselves as citizens of the United States of America, with the silence of the church, with the growing immorality, even though, praise God for President Donald J. Trump, who is fighting that taxpayer dollars are no longer going to be used to support abortion. Wow, is that huge? But still, abortion is legal. It has to end. It has to be destroyed. That legislation has to be destroyed. You cannot allow transgender people to use their political weight to push themselves around in this society. And yet that's exactly what is happening. So what is the ultimate prediction? What is the prediction? Doom in the month of June. That's what I'm thinking. And I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I'm thinking the potential for some major doom to hit the United States of America will be in the month of June. Whether it be, I don't know, North Korea finally saying, you know what, we don't want to make a deal with you guys. We were fooling you all along, and we're going to set an electromagnetic pulse and wipe out your electrical grid. And you're going to go into a minimum of 1 year of darkness, America, where millions of people are going to die because they don't know how to live without the systems. Or who knows what's in store for a nation who has offended God. The only right thing to do, dear Christian, is to raise your voice, let your voice be heard, and let the words of your voice be the words of God to a generation that is so apostate, so demonically possessed. I mean, for any individual to get to share an argument about any of the things we've talked about today so far just shows their demonic possession. Anybody that is going to resist what they're hearing and try to converse about it like the devil did is somebody under mind control, and they are demonically possessed. And what the Christians need to do is rise up and saturate the airwaves in every place we go, but not with this feel-good gospel, not with this lukewarm, tepid gospel, not with a gospel that has no power to penetrate the soul of man. No, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to stand up and warn this nation of the judgment that it's already under and the wrath that it's about to incur. And ladies and gentlemen, if the church is not willing to do that, then stop calling yourself the church. What I would like to do is open the lines right now. If anybody is interested in calling into the broadcast, the number to call, 479-636-7979. Once again, 479-636-7979 or 800-767-7979. We're testing from a different system, so I don't know if it's going to work or not. But if you are the brave soul to call into the broadcast today and share your thoughts, share your heart about the things that we're talking about, feel free to do so. Once again, locally, 479-636-7979. And David will help me, I'm sure, because I'm not in the studio today, to field those calls, because I can't even see the light flashing right now. I have to trust in Brother David to do that. And so, again, we've got about 18 minutes left in the broadcast. And if you have any questions or comments about what you're hearing today, this would be the time to share them. And so we're just going to wait around for just a second and let us Selah. What is God saying? What is God saying from his holy perspective to our nation? There's a battle going on in this divided nation. There's a real war being fought, and God is employing. He's got a big sign out saying, now hiring. And if you will allow yourself to yield to the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, if you'll give your life to Him, ladies and gentlemen, He will empower you to raise your voice. He will empower you to speak out in this hour and to declare to the nations of the earth what is right. Do you know the Word of God? Have you studied the Word of God, or are you just denominationally tunnel visioned? Are you doctrinally tunnel visioned and you can't seem to get out of the tunnel vision of your doctrine that belongs to your denomination? Well, isn't it time to break out of that tunnel and get into the full counsel of God's Word and understand that God is the same at the beginning and will be the same at the end and everywhere in between? Do you know the Word of God? I hear a lot of preaching on mercy and grace and love and compassion. It's all true. But you don't hear much about God's wrath, God's judgment, God sending a crisis, God's anger against the wicked every day. You don't hear that, even though there's a door of opportunity for salvation. Honestly, you don't hear the truth about why of our young kids. I mean, by the time they hit 10 years old, they've already viewed pornography. Do you know what that does to their brain?
Pastor Vince?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we have a call from Ken from South Dakota. We'll see if we can get him in here. And go ahead, Ken.
Hello.
Hello, Ken. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Ben.
Okay. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. I got a comment, and as far as everybody blames Hollywood, everybody blames the news media, blames Washington, whatever. And I agree that they are not doing what they should be doing. But I am very disappointed in a lot of the preachers in the churches as far as they're not doing the job that they should be doing either.
Well, that's true. And how are they not doing their job from your understanding?
Well, it turns out that they are not preaching what they should out of the Bible as much as they should. There's no such thing as hell over the pulpit anymore. And I'm not condemning all, and I'm not condemning. I'm just bringing out what I have seen. And that, and as far as I'm not really too sure because I'm older, so I'm not sure what's being taught in Sunday school and that. But the preachers and the people in the church do not seem to be taking a stand near as much as the government is.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And it's true that the saints are getting weary, but, you know, prophetically speaking, we're living in a moment in time right now where I believe God is about to pour out His Spirit to accelerate His labor in the earth. In fact, what people are hearing right now over this radio broadcast is God's heartbeat and His word that is piercing the darkness and telling the truth. That's all that's happening here today. And I would pray in this accelerated moment as individuals are awakening that people that are out there listening to this broadcast would get behind it, support it, sponsor it financially so that we're not just on once a week on during the weekdays. I believe we need to be on radio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we are on our internet radio station. But when it comes to the airwaves that are out there right now where people are listening, we need to have more airtime because I am one person out of 7 billion, but my voice belongs to the Lord and His word is in my heart. And it is my desire to proclaim His word balanced, the balanced word of God, to the ends of the earth. And we just need more people to recognize the value of those ministers who are not putting people to sleep with their fairy tales and their false doctrines, but the value of those who have God's word burning in their hearts and a voice to proclaim it, and knowing that the powers of darkness want to quench this word. They want to silence this voice. And the way that the devil's trying to do it is through finances. And so without the body of Christ stepping up and helping, Ken, it's very difficult to get this job done. And I would hate to not be able to do what God has called us to do.
I hear you. And one thing I also want to bring out is the morning I ended up, I happened to have on Good Morning America or something like that. And they ended up, they had the three stewardesses and the two pilots that were on the plane where that woman sort of got sucked out the window. And they ended up, they gave one of the best sermons that I've heard for some time. They were talking about the Bible. They were talking about praying. They were talking about before they got on the flight, those five got together and they were having a discussion, which is required by that company that they work for. And they were talking about the different Bible verses and different things and comparing, and not because of the flight, but it ended up, they kept their cool all during what was going on the flight, even though a woman did die. And as far as I thought, it was very good, and they brought it out very strong, that they gave a lot of the credit to what they did, how they handled the situation, to the Lord, not to themselves.
Amen. Amen. And that's the way it has to be. The church, which is the ecclesia, which is people, out in the open marketplace, out in the world in which we live, that's where our faith is going to be most profound and most powerful. Ken, thank you for your sharing your thoughts. God bless you, sir. We appreciate you. And you're always a very excellent commentary on the broadcast. Thank you. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. I think I lost Ken. So we'll just continue on. You know, I want to kind of put things together right now. And again, the lines are open. We've got a few minutes left if anybody else wanted to call in. But let's kind of put some things together. You just heard a story about people that were out in the airport. They were praying. There was a casualty, but people were discussing the Word of God, ministering a great sermon. That's where it all has to go. Good works is not enough to stem the tide of apostasy, ladies and gentlemen. You know that, and I know that. Good works is never enough. People in the mafia do good works. So good works should never be an easement for the conscience. Rather, it is the divine nature or the character, the morality, the biblical morality that has been raised as a standard for every one of us to attain to. That must be the journey of our lives. And as we move in that direction towards biblical morality, obeying the commandments of God, doing what God has called us to do, following the instructions from A to Z, then, of course, as we go, we proclaim the word, we heal the sick, we raise the dead, we cast out the devils, and we let the miracles, signs, and wonders begin once again. And guess what? This planet has seen miracles, signs, and wonders before, and this planet's going to see miracles, signs, and wonders again. Some of them will be from the Lord, but most of them will actually be from the devil. Read your Bible, where he comes with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, with lying signs and wonders, even calling fire down out of heaven. We live in a very dark day where deception is running rampant. And as I was saying just a moment ago, it would be my desire to have the Word of God, God's Word, spoken daily through the airwaves, right here on Kerm Radio. And accordingly, if the people that are listening to this broadcast would support this work and understand it and value it and appreciate it, that it is apprehended by God. This broadcast is not just a man-made thing. This is something the Lord has done. But if we allow it to back down and we allow it to come to, you know, from 3 days a week to now 1 day a week, if we allow it to come down, I believe the enemy will have prevailed in blocking another voice simply because people would not support the ministry financially and made it a hardship and gave more power to the enemy to mock and scoff and laugh and say it's all about money and all that stuff. But if God's people would just, you know, pony up and say, I'm going to come alongside this ministry, there is truth, it is God's word, and that voice does belong to the Lord. That is not the devil's voice. That is not the world's voice. And that's not a man's own voice. That is God's voice. And if you would see it as that, for that's what it is, together, we can continue to broadcast, and we could get on this broadcast 5 days a week, which would be ideal, because our life is to serve the Lord. Our life is willing to go wherever God wants us to go, but it requires financial support. That's all there is to it, to pay the bill every month, which requires people to step up, come alongside and say, let me help you to shoulder that financial responsibility so you can focus on the responsibility of bringing God's word to the airwaves. And the day that we cease to do that is the day to say, okay, well, we're not going to do that anymore. That's not going to happen. We're going to be here either until we're not allowed to be here anymore, or in some way, perhaps, who knows, maybe even until the very time near the end. That would be my hope. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Watchman here on KIRM Radio. I'm Vincent Xavier. I'm the senior pastor of New Wine Ministries in Bella Vista, Arkansas. And my wife and I have been pastors for 26 years. And we've been serving here in Northwest Arkansas for 8 years. We've been on KIRM Radio for 5 years. I believe we could be trusted. Obviously, if we couldn't be, I don't think we'd still be on the radio. And we walk our talk. We obey the Lord as much as within us can do, as empowered by the Holy Spirit. We preach the gospel every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Saturday and Sunday. There are ministries going on at New Wine Ministries. We have Bible study with Pastor Ken Wagner and Pastor Michael Villarin every Tuesday night. We have prayer meetings every Monday night. We have Bible studies every Wednesday night, every Thursday night with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And we do a daily radio program on the internet. We have an internet radio broadcast that's going all over the world. We're getting about 5,000 hits a week now around the world. We're preaching Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And so we are in a knot. And then Saturday night, we're preaching the word. Sunday afternoon, we're preaching the word. Sunday morning, we're on radio again at KIRM, which is a blessing. And so we're not just floundering. We are here to labor and are willing to let go of anything and everything in order to continue to broadcast the days that we're living in. But I need your support. I need your financial help, and I need it on a consistent basis. And if you would be willing to step up and partner with me in this ministry and just, you know, send a check, send a financial blessing to the radio ministry. And what that does, basically, it tells me that God's people are interested and they want to keep this message going, because you can't look to your left and right and expect someone else to do it. It never gets done that way. Everybody needs to chip in. I believe I'm doing my part. And so having said that, we're going to turn this over. There's a couple of commercials coming up right now to tell you how you can support this radio ministry. And if you'll listen carefully, there's a few addresses and a phone number. Write them down, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Until we meet again, Lord willing, on Sunday, right here on KIRM Radio, 9:45 a.m. Again, I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. We'll see you then. Shalom and God bless.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. Thank you for tuning in every Wednesday and Sunday right here on KIRM Radio. It has been a great joy and a privilege to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ.